And I'm the guest, 69416.
That's what I'm calling you for the rest of the show.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 82, recorded live on Wednesday. No, it's not September 18th. It is October 2nd. I forgot to change it in the notes. Damn it. My name is Joel Duggan. The chuckle you hear is Mr. Eric Mahler returning back of the Mr. Mom Daily podcast, as well as Buy a Pig and a Poke. Is that still going?
Yeah.
On the spot.
Yeah, sort of.
So it's still going.
It's on hiatus.
Ah,
it's a theme of
of the show.
So what's going on here?
Nice. Yeah. Well, the other voice that you hear is my friend Eric. Also is not his last name. His last name is Van Skyhawk. We're probably going to call him Skyhawk for the rest of the show, just so I don't get confused in my brain. Eric is a friend of the Frog Pants Network, of course, and a musician. And we are going to talk to him about his new album that was actually recommended back on show 80 by Ryan Murphy from the Gamers Inn when he was on the show. So that is going to be a whole lot of fun. If you happen to be new to the Citadel Cafe, this is where myself and a few guests come to talk about the things that we have been into lately. We gravitate towards geeky and sci-fi fantasy stuff, but we're not myopic. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, websites, and even some music. Imagine that. It's been a while. I'm actually excited to talk about some music. So before we get into anything else, I do want to talk to Eric about the new album, because I did just...
Do you mean Skyhawk?
Yes. See? Look, it's been 30 seconds and I'm already messing that up.
You dropped the ball already.
Yeah, it's because I know you both personally. It's not like it's just handles. Like, I've met and shook hands with both of you. So it's good. Eric 1 and Eric 2.
Ooh,
no.
Can I be Eric 2?
You can be Eric 2. You can be Eric That's also great. If you want as well. Well,
and Eric also as well, too.
Both. Exactly. Yes. So I recently picked up Skyhawk's new album.
Yes, Shattered. Did you download it okay?
I did, despite my ineptitudes with iTunes. I'm not sure whether it's something they changed in the new version or...
It is. Because usually I have the little download thing on the left.
Yeah.
You can see where stuff is downloading now. They moved it to a small little thing up in the right-hand corner.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Yeah. So I had this conversation with Skyhawk yesterday, where I was like, dude, your album's not downloading. This sucks. I paid for it and I'm excited and now I can't find it. And is there anything wrong on your end? Like, I was concerned.
Well, the thing is, I have nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Like, I give it to TuneCore. The TuneCore puts it out to all the places. And so right. I have no control over that part of that. It's not like a podcast or anything like that.
Right. So I eventually did get it because I was working on my Cintiq and this little tiny gray box in the very top right-hand corner, which on a 24-inch monitor is very far away from you. I finally did catch it and I downloaded it. I've listened to it a couple times, actually. It's great stuff to listen to and work, which is something that I've been doing a lot of this week. So, I mean, before we get too far into the show, Skyhawk, this is your third or fourth album?
It's my second.
Your second? Okay, I thought there was more. I think maybe iTunes was lying to me. Maybe there were singles or something.
I had some singles in there.
Ah, that's what it is.
I don't count as albums.
Right. Okay, cool. But
that one with that awesome cover of Scott Johnson when he was just
Glamour Shots?
Yeah, Glamour Shots. That one's great.
Just look up Skyhawk in the iTunes store, everybody, if you're curious about what we're talking about. The album, the latest one is called Shattered. I really like it. It's really, really fun stuff. And I'm definitely getting a video game vibe from it. Did you pull a lot of inspiration from that kind of stuff?
No, not really. It's just kind of like the type of music I listen to, I guess. I'm really into the EDM, electronica, electro, stuff genre, I guess. I just kind of make stuff that I like and what I listen to. So that's where my, influences come from. But, it did tend to have a video game feel to it. I mean, when Scott heard the for their album for the first time. He's like, dude, why aren't you making, you know, game music for video games already, you know? Because it has that, definitely that vibe to it. But yeah, I just, you know, a lot of my influences are like Deadmau5 and Knife Party and Noisia and stuff like that, which, you know.
Nice.
And, you know, Noisia did the soundtrack to Devil May Cry, the last Devil May Cry. So it does.
Oh, really?
Know, oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Cool. So along with Combi Christ. So.
Awesome. I mean, like,
so that's just my influences, and it's funny because I have a whole bunch of different genres on there because I'm a big fan of DJ Shadow too, which kind of
I love DJ Shadow.
Into the Shadow is kind of like a little homage to his style of music and stuff like that. So,
you know, I was totally thinking Shadow. I bought the album the day it came out, and iTunes worked fine for me. I don't know what you're...
Oh, it was completely human error on my part.
Oh, okay.
The iTunes it was a combination of really poor UI design and me not knowing what I was doing.
It's, well, no, my wife hates the new iTunes too. I'm sure it's not completely you. But no, I was listening to it in the car, and I was thinking to myself, this gives me a DJ Shadow feel.
Hence the name Into the Shadows was the
sure.
This is a track that was heavily influenced. And in fact, I was playing it in the car, and my girlfriend was like, "Is this DJ Shadow?" I was like, "No, it's me."
That's nice. I would take that as a compliment.
If it's something that you're shooting for, then obviously that's a great way to take that.
So I try to arrange the tracks where it has a nice flow into the different genres because, you know, I don't want you to get smacked with like an 8-bit theme right in the middle of the album, sure. Which is the Liam's theme for his podcast, All Work No Play.
Right.
Which is the end song there.
Yeah, no, I remember catching that because once I started playing the album, of course, I switched over to do other things. I was taking care of some blog posts and artwork and stuff today, and I was just kind of listening through. And one thing that did grab me, there's a couple of tracks where you've got an artist by the name of Thix, featured.
Yes.
Are those the vocals?
Yes, he's the vocals, and it's a crazy story. Because I've been a huge fan of his for like 5 years. He's based out of Vienna, Austria. Cool. And I was working on the song Red, and I was like, you know what, if I could get, his name is Stefan, and I was like, oh, if he would did this little vocal part, like the little speaking part, because like originally it was me saying it, and it was just like, I hate my voice, and I was like, oh, it'd be really cool, because it kind of has his vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I follow him on Twitter and whatnot, and I just sent him a little, message, and I said, hey, I sent him an email. I went to his site and I sent him an email saying, hey, I'm so-and-so and I'm working on an album. And I was wondering if you could do just a simple sentence for me and, on the song. And he was like, yeah, sure. Just send it over. So I sent the track to him and, just expecting him to just speak the one line. And, he sent it back and he goes like, yeah, I really like it. I really, really love the vibe of this. So I just sang over some of the song. So now, you know, you can use that if you want, if you don't like it, you know, I was just like totally blown away. And I was like, dude, you've added nice. So much to this. The song is Red. The first one you were hearing him singing on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was just blown away. And then, so, you know, he started following me on Twitter and, we started like exchanging emails and whatnot. And then probably like 2 weeks before I released the album, I was getting all my tracks ready and just doing the final tweaks and mastering. And, you know, and he's been doing this for a long time, you know, and he does all his own mastering and stuff like that. So I just sent him an email and said, hey, you know, I just wondering if you could give it, you know, listen to my tracks and see what you think and give me any pointers on the whole mixing and mastering of them type of thing. And he's like, sure, no problem. So I sent him all my tracks and he, you know, sent me some notes on some of them and told me what, what maybe take some high frequencies out here and add some more bass here, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then he says, like, I really like some of your tracks, and I have some vocal ideas for some of them. And I'm like, okay, so that's where the track Lost came from. Because I had it. It was a completely it was a completely instrumental song. They said, so I sent him all the splits and all the different pieces of the track, and then he and it's funny though because he's like, we had a discussion. He's like, he's from Austria. Vienna. So he's like, so when I talk to him, he sounds just like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, with that Austrian accent, which is fantastic. And so he goes, well, what I'll do is I'll send you some vocal sketches over the track. But what he does is he takes previous songs, Frank Sinatra or Johnny Cash, and does the vocals with the song, but with the melody that he's thinking in his head. So the first version he sent to me was I Walk the Line from Johnny Cash over the Lost song, which is nice. Kind of funny. So he's like, he goes, I'll do the vocal part, but you need to write the lyrics. And so I was like, okay, I've never written lyrics before. So
yeah, I was wondering if you had done the lyrics or the melody of the vocals and just had him sing it or something, or
no. All I did is I wrote the vocals, he's the one who created the melody of the vocals over the song, because the whole song, the bed of the whole track was from my original track that mm-hmm. had no vocals over it, and then he added some stuff. And like the end part was like his little audition, and it was just, and it came together really well. I was completely blown away that just how it came together, and it was just, it kept my mind was just boggled, just like, as I have been a fan of his for like years. You know, he has two groups. One's called Mind in a Box, and one's, his new project is called Fix. And now here I am, like, working with him, and you know, and having Skype conversations with him and talking, and you know,
that's so cool,
becoming friends and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's just so weird how it's just like, you never know if you just have to, you know, put your stuff out there and just ask, you know, like, hey, you know, can you do this for me? Like, because you never know what happens. And the worst thing that can happen is, like, you know, they say no, I don't have time, or no response. But like, that's okay, you know, but at least you have to try.
Yeah, I think that's wise for just about any creative endeavor out there. A smart way to do things. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, it's funny how the internet has made, you know, a lot of people really accessible, and social media in particular, you know, makes the people that you look up to, the mentors, the examples that you're trying to, you know, set your creativity by, a lot more down to earth and approachable. I mean, not only do you have access where you can tweet at them and hope they see it, or email them if they have a public email that you can, you know, get in touch with somebody, but you also, personally, I've found, you know, have a little bit more confidence in doing so. You know, like I would never ever think, you know, growing up to like write a letter to a movie star like Tom Hanks, but I'll tweet Nathan Fillion in a heartbeat. You know, like,
that's
just
true.
Exactly. You know, it's a big difference now. And I mean, a good example is my interview on Comics Coast to Coast with Dave Kellett of Sheldon. I mean, like, I was getting ready to get into webcomics. I bought the book that he wrote with four of his friends about webcomics, something that he's been doing for 15 years now, I think, you know, very successfully. Mm. It's his full-time job, you know, and it starts off with like a fan letter or a thank you for your inspiration sort of thing. And then 2 years later, 3 years later, I'm doing a show with Dunaway, and I'm just like, you know, I wonder if Kellett would agree to come on an interview. Like, we've sort of had a couple tweets back and forth. Like, you know, I know he's the kind of guy that reads his email, even if he doesn't always have time to reply, that kind of thing. I emailed him and he came on the show. He had a great time. Like, it was surreal, you know, to be able to sit there and talk with him. And it's intimidating for like 30 seconds. And then after that, you realize just how down to earth they are. You know, I mean, it helps that Dave has been on podcasts himself quite a bit too. So, I mean, you kind of get to know him, and you know that he's, you know, a humble guy, and he's always trying to get better and all that kind of stuff. So, did you find, like, how did you find working with Thix? Like, did you find that he was like not, was he working with you? Like, did you find that there was a real collaboration there, or did you find that you were following
definitely.
His lead?
Like, I mean, no, yeah, it definitely was very collaborative.
That's
like,
awesome.
So, I mean, he pretty much took my song and, you know, and added to it. And then we'd go back and forth. And I said, well, I'm not so, you know, it's funny because, like, we'd go back and forth because he was, oh, I don't like this part. And I said, this part's so great. How can you not like that part? That's the best part, blah, blah, you know. And it was a very, you know, back and forth until we you know, finally agreed on a direction of, but it was very very collaborative project. And I said, you know, and I'd send him some synth parts, you know, and back and forth. And so, yeah,
wow,
it's very collaborative. He's also in the future. He goes, you have anything else, you know, you want to send me, just, you know, if you need some vocals, you know,
that's more awesome.
Which is, you know, fantastic. So
absolutely, congratulations.
But
I haven't
like
wicked.
Touched music for like since I released it. I'm like, I'm done for a while.
Yeah,
you need a break.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like when I put my book out last year, you know, I needed a break. You know, I got back into drawing the strip, but like when the actual book, like, I mean, I didn't want to put anything together, I didn't want to do any layout, I didn't want to do any
exactly.
You know, all the graphic design stuff. I was like, nope, done. I just want to draw cartoons. I've spent like a month just laying stuff out. I need to get back to it.
The funny thing is like most of the tracks people seem to be responding to are like the newer tracks that I probably, you know, did in the last couple of months, more than because there's been some songs I've been like hanging around for quite a while, but the people seem to be like really responding to the new stuff that I, you know, they don't know how long I've, you know, they've been rent, but so that was good to hear, because I was like, when there's a new piece of music, I'm like, I don't know if I should put this on there, you know, but, you know, it's because so I'm glad I made the decision to put some of this stuff on there.
Yeah, I feel like when I was listening to it, right in the middle, like, Singularity, Lost, Send It Through, and Into the Shadows is kind of when I want to say perk up the most. I mean, I enjoyed the whole thing, but, you know, I feel like that was when I was flipping back and forth and saying, oh, what song's this? Oh, what song's this? This, I'm going to put a couple of stars next to this one so I can come back and talk about it later. And yeah, like it's you can definitely, were those the later ones or were the more recent ones at the front?
Well, Lost was probably the latest track. It definitely evolved. Well, I mean, I did the original Lost track like a long, long time ago, but it's evolved so much. I would call it new at this point. But yeah, Singularity, end of the data, whatever how you want to say it, is one of the newer ones. And people seem to really be liking that one also.
I say Dorda, if you don't.
Dorda.
Dorda, yeah.
Into the Shadows is a new one. And actually, Send It Through is a new one also. So
and
yeah.
Into the Shadows is the one that was inspired by another DJ that you really like, right?
DJ Shadow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'll have to look him up because I've never.
Oh,
heard of him.
Yes.
He's really good.
It's funny because I'm really quite new to this type of stuff. I mean, I like it when I hear it in movies and, you know, in television and media and stuff like that. But I've never gone out of my way to really kind of look it up before. And I think the most recent one that I picked up was the Daft Punk album that came out.
Yeah, that's more of a disco.
It is. And I was not expecting that because I really liked their soundtrack to Tron.
Yeah, and it's not,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so and I it's not like I dislike the latest disco type stuff from Daft Punk, but
no,
it's
fine. It's,
yeah.
It has its place and
yeah, I remember making
that,
fun
that
of
was,
one song.
You know,
though.
The, you know, I kind of try to do the glamour shots and that kind of
right.
Disco
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, I was trying to I remember I was listening to the album for the first time, and just a few days earlier I had gone to the movies with Jocelyn, and there was one of their songs, Time to Get Lucky, I think it's called,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And it was playing in the movie theater, and I was like, oh my God, like this is the most repetitive song ever. And I had thought it was like, you know, whoever the latest Justin Bieber pop nut was that was, you know, putting out this stuff. And of course, and I made fun of it, and we both kind of rolled our eyes in the movie theater, and I go home and I get the album and I realize, oh, crap. It's actually a band I like.
It's like it's not them singing. It's like Pharrell, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. But still, I was surprised that it was produced by them.
The thing is, the thing about Daft Punk, they can be very repetitive in their music.
They can be. That's true. Yeah, they can be repetitive.
If you listen to that one with Robo Rock on it, Robot Rock, I mean, that song is really repetitive. It's good, but it's very repetitive.
Yeah.
I think they know their stuff's going to get played a lot in clubs and dance clubs where... Really, the main motivation is just to keep people moving and to let it flow into the next song and stuff. So it doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, it's nothing against the band. I like Daft Punk quite a bit, but that's kind of, I think, where their motivation for that is. Eric, I was curious. Sorry, I'm kind of backtracking a little bit. What do you use to, if you don't mind me asking, what do you use to make your songs? Like what software?
I use a variety of software. My whole like the history of where like my music career goes from, like in high school I played drums for like over 10 years and I was in like a whole bunch of rock bands and whatnot.
Right.
But then when I get older and you're living in apartments, you don't have room for a drum set. So I got really like probably like 12 years ago, I was really got interested in producing my own music just in my bedroom. So I picked up a piece of software. It was called Reason.
Oh, yeah, Reason.
Reason's still around, but I was using it at Reason 1.0. Now it's like Reason 7.0 right now.
Right.
But that had everything to create, you know, music right there in one simple, you know, program. As time progressed, I kind of... started getting into, you know, I had a used Pro Tools for a while. But then they kind of screwed me over because they're a horrible company. Because I bought their audio interface and then they stopped supporting the audio interface and I wasn't eligible.
I had a friend who was a music producer who I remember complaining about Pro Tools and I think he said something about that.
Yeah, you drop support for your audio device, and then you're not eligible to upgrade to their more recent software. And it's like, I'm not dropping $600. You know, I already invested in their software, and now they're just kind of telling me to jump off a cliff. And I was like, I'm done with you, Pro Tools. Sure. So I started using Ableton Live.
Right. I love Live.
Yeah, so the majority of my stuff is done in Live with a whole bunch of software synth, you know, plugins. Mm-hmm. Like I have the complete from Native Instrument set of plugins. I also use a lot of the Waves plugins for like, you know, compressors and EQs.
Sure.
And stuff like that. It's just a whole bunch of mishmash of different things. Like half the stuff is done in Reason and half the stuff is done in Ableton. And some of the stuff I do in Reason and then pull it into Live and just what makes it the song work.
That's cool. Thanks. I was just curious. Thank you.
Yeah. No. It's fun little hobby that I do. And it's kind of like, you know, it's nice to do something different than what you do in your day job, you know, as I'm an art director doing visual stuff, and just to come home and just change the gears and do something different.
Yeah, I find that, and I've mentioned that about podcasting too, is because it allows me to still do some creative things that are not at all related to comics and illustration. I feel like creative people like us always seem to have that creative hobby in addition to whatever we're doing professionally. And I used to be in a band in university. It was just a cover band. I played bass guitar. But
you're a bass guitar player. Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a long time ago. We covered the oddest things. We covered the Beatles, Green Day, and there was one other band.
God,
Paranoid Android. Who are they?
Radiohead.
Radiohead. So we covered some, yeah, it was a strange, strange mix of that kind of stuff, just for fun. But I've always had some sort of like audio component to the creative endeavors outside of like, at that time it would have been, school would have been visual arts, you know, so to hang out with the guys on the weekend and mess around in coffee houses and stuff like that was super fun. So, but that's cool, man. I can't believe I didn't realize you were always musical. I thought it was something that you came to later. I didn't realize that you'd played drums for so long.
Yeah, in high school, it was like I was so into music, and I just like, I mean, my room was just full of my friends' amps and, you know, guitars.
I remember those
and
days.
Just leave it in my room, you know. And it just, I got to the point where, like, you know what? I got to kind of do something that I can make a living at. Like, because music's is a tough gig to make a decent living out of. So,
yeah.
I went into like advertising. So, and that's where I landed.
Nice.
which is great. It's very, very creative field. And you get to do, you know, experience a lot of different creative mediums to, you know, TV, print, interactive.
Yeah, these days actually, it would be very, very broad in terms of the palette of stuff that you could do.
And yeah, so, but I still, I've always loved music, and it's a really fun hobby that I've always kept up with. And I don't know, it's kind of like I have a little sickness of, because, you know, I guess as, you know, being a tech gadget kind of guy, I just kind of like, love the technology side of that too. Like, you know, mm-hmm. new synth or a new effect comes out, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited, and I gotta, you know, check it out and read all the specs on it. And like, you know, and in the notes, I made a joke how I said print is dead, because I don't do too much book reading, but I read more stuff like Computer Music Magazine on my iPad type of thing, and reading up and reviews on new synths and effects and new hardware devices and that kind of stuff.
Right on.
That's but, cool.
You know, I do have one else other thing that kind of falls into the whole like you never know unless you try type of thing is this has just recently happened like a couple of weeks ago. If you guys are familiar with Hit Record.
Mm-hmm. It's a what's his butts? 500 days of something's deal, right?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Thank you.
Yes. Anyway, he has a site called hitrecord.org, which is a collaborative production company where he's making a TV show. And what it is he has all these little short films, musical pieces, and he's going to have a TV show that launches in January. Anyway, I went on the site and checked it out and whatnot, and then I saw this little piece where he was asking for these little pieces of music for this short film they're working on. And so they wanted a little kind of electronica theme for a character, for these characters which are engineers. So and you know, I mean, what the people do is they submit their work and then they pick it and for the piece. So actually I submitted a piece, my first piece. I signed up, I submitted it, and they actually chose it for the TV show.
Nice.
That's so awesome.
Congratulations.
So thank you. So it's kind of crazy just because it's my first time, and like there's tons of people submitting stuff, and you can see, you know, you can listen to other people's stuff because it's very collaborative, it's very open source type of environment type of thing. And, you know, and you can see how many people have listened to it, how many people have recommended it, and it's just kind of like I was looking at my piece, and like mine had like more recommendations than anybody else's piece, and even Joseph Gordon-Levitt recommended my piece, you know, and
wow.
Now then I got an email from them saying, hey, we really like your track. And, you know, then they sent some, you know, further conversation and said, Joe really likes the track, and we, you know, we're going to move forward with this and blah, blah. You're going to see it on TV in January. And I'm just like, wow, it's kind of,
nice. That is so cool. Congratulations.
Very, man. Very
and
then, cool.
And the thing is you get paid for it too.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, that's good. It's nice that he's doing that. Yeah.
The whole thing for him is like, come work for me. That's the gist of the site. And mm-hmm. for you guys, there's like illustration sections, and it's like, send us some awesome illustrations and for nice. The story we're working on, and you mm-hmm. know, and people animate those illustrations, or you know, it's a very cool site. You should guys check it out.
Yeah. What was the site again?
Hit Record.org.
It's see.
Great. I wanted to write it down for my own notes and obviously for the show notes too, so that everybody can make sure that they get there. That sounds awesome.
So yeah, and it's like it's kind of crazy. Like I figured, well, why not try, you know, submit something, and lo and behold, I got a piece that got into the show, and it's weird because I get emails from the music guy who's in charge of all the music for all the projects, and he's like, yeah, Joe. He calls him Joe. Really likes your stuff. He says it's great and stuff. And says the tracks are perfect. And I'm just kind of
so cool, man.
Wow,
right?
That's got to feel good. That's really cool.
And Levitt is another really creative son of a gun. That you see.
The cool thing about this site is he every day he posts a little YouTube video and tells you where each project is at and how many days are till the delivery of the TV show is and saying exactly stuff that they need and like, oh, we need, you know, like for say if you're an illustrator, say like, oh, we're working on a short film, we need these illustrations of, you know, a list of stuff, you know. And so, and the thing is when you submit your work there, it's like it's so collaborative that anybody can remix it or redo something, you know what I'm saying? But you always get credit for that part,
right?
Because it's, you know, in your account where it's posted. And
Very cool.
It's a very cool little site. You should check it out.
Absolutely. I'm going to go there right after the show.
I'm Sam, and it's like they're looking for voiceover artists, musicians, singers. I mean, Eric, your sister, Heather?
Yeah, Heather. She can draw like nothing else.
I know. Like, her stuff would fit perfectly in a lot of the stuff that they're doing over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I should show her this. Totally.
So,
well, speaking of television and stuff, I mean, what have you guys been watching? I mean, Eric, Mahler, let's start with you, man. Like, what's been gracing the large or small silver screen in your world?
Well, when I can pull the TV away from my daughter and I don't have to watch Backyardigans or something.
Bubble Guppies, man. It's all about Bubble Guppies.
I don't know what that is, but I imagine it's a kid's show.
It's a kid's show.
It's a kid's show, and it's much better than Backyardigans.
Somehow I've avoided that one. Okay. My wife and I have, I've tried to get her into Doctor Who before, and I started her with the Christopher Eccleston series, the first season when they came back in the 90s. And she wasn't really feeling it. And I can understand that was kind of that's kind of my least favorite Doctor of the new ones. I don't know if you guys watched any of any Doctor Who, but
I am behind. I have not seen any Doctor Who since the 70s.
Yes, I am with Joel. Believe it or not, there's so much TV to watch.
And it's too much.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we started watching Doctor Who again, and she's kind of into it this time because we started on the next season after, where there's a new Doctor. Not Christopher Eccleston. I'm gonna lose nerd points. I just had his name in my head. It doesn't matter.
Hey, when you're talking to two guys who haven't watched it, I don't think you have to worry about.
Good point. But anyway, we've been watching that, and when we're not watching that, we're watching, rewatching X-Files from the beginning, just for fun because it's on Netflix, and why not? And that's about it. Oh, and I finally got to see the new Star Trek movie.
Oh yeah, which this is the Into Darkness.
Yeah, because it was it came out really close to when my son was born, so it was kind of, you know, I can't really take an infant baby to the theater.
No, and that was loud.
Yes, you don't want to be one of those guys.
No. I told my wife, she's like, nah, he'll sleep through it, and I'm like, no, I refuse to be that person. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, they actually have, at least in theaters around here, during the week, matinees, they have family-friendly matinees for kids' movies and even some, like, some dramas where, like, you might be taking a baby that's so young they wouldn't even really register what's going on screen. Right. So for moms that want to get together or stay-at-home dads that want to get together and go see a movie, the lights don't go all the way down and they don't have the sound as loud.
And that's great.
Yeah, and it's just kind of understood that if your baby is crying, that's just going to happen at these things. You know, if you've got to get up you know, and take the baby to the change room and walk in front of some people, well, that's going to happen a lot too. So
there's got to be a place like that around here. I mean, it's Utah.
Yeah, it's Utah. Yeah, I don't. There has to be something.
There's babies everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm sure if you looked at your local theaters, it's probably just not marketed very well. If not, you could probably start one. I mean, I'm assuming it's probably just a matter of. I mean, I know it's Empire Theaters here that does it. That's the company, which is, I think, local to, like, Atlantic Canada. But, I mean, it could have easily started with just a group of people, like, saying, hey, look, if we all got together and made sure we had, you know, 20 or 30 tickets to sell to your movie in the afternoon when no one's going to go on a Tuesday afternoon anyway, like, would we be able to get a special screening that's better for new moms, you know, or new parents?
Right. I'm sure there's something. I just haven't found it. I know there's a Brew Cinema, Brewies, ooh, nearby.
I've heard that's fun.
It's great. It's the best.
What is only Brewies? Way to,
Brewies. It's just here downtown, and it's a movie theater. And you can also get a pint of beer and some French fries with cheese and a slice of pizza all in there in the theater. And you're just watching a movie.
Please, I got you beat.
What?
AMC has these dine-in theaters, like fully reclined chairs, where the waiters come to your side and you give them your order, and it's like full menu, like burgers, wraps, chicken entrees, desserts,
and
they have, like, you know, adult where they serve full-on alcohol, you know, where children, you know, you have to be 21 to go into the theater.
Wow.
That is great. That sounds like a much nicer version of what we got here.
Jeez.
Yeah, but these chairs are like electric reclined, so you could actually recline all the way back.
Now that would be worth it because movie theater seats always suck.
And these tickets cost what? $100 a piece?
Like, no, it's not. Well, the thing is that they're regular price tickets for a movie, but it's you're paying for the meal, you know? So.
Yeah. So, well, just out of curiosity, what's a movie ticket where you are, Eric?
It's about $12.
Yeah, same here. Yeah,
it's about the same here.
I think 3D goes a little higher when you're watching 3D.
Yeah, we've got a cheap night here. I say cheap night, and it's like, I want to say it's like eight or $10 on Tuesdays, and it's the matinee price, but they let it go the whole day, the evening. Yeah. So on Tuesday nights you can go
Eric,
see a movie.
Do you remember Starship Theaters?
Vaguely, yeah. Rings a bell.
You're probably like a lot younger than I am, but when I was growing up, we had
32.
Dude, I'm 43, so.
All right, well, it's only 11 years. It's not big. That's not too much.
But they had Starship Theaters. Scott would totally know what this is, where it was like their movies were $1. I mean, it was like.
Wow.
But the movies they had were like out of the theaters a couple months, you know, type of thing.
Right,
but it was the cheap place to go see a movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
when I was a kid, it was, I think the cheap night was $4 or $5 for me. I mean, and I'm 34, but then at university, I went to University of Small Town, and they had toonie movies on Friday nights, and it was the same idea. It was a single screen movie theater, but the place would be packed because there was nothing to do on a Friday night in a small town but go see a movie at midnight. And for $2, I mean, like, you could, and you would see something fairly recent, you know, it would be out, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, and then it would come for the Toonie movie. And I mean, it was great. I mean, would be just wall to wall students.
We have a place like that here. We call it the Dollar Theater, but they don't charge for $1 anymore. It's in Sugar House. But what it's mostly become is where homeless people go to be warm for a while in the winter. They pay a few bucks and they go watch a movie and they warm themselves up.
This is, I realized I was talking about toonies. It's like, for those of you who don't know, that's the $2 coin in Canada.
Yeah.
holes in it, right?
Holes in it, right? Yeah. Yeah, so when it Scott first came Johnson out, when me. It first came out, you could have holes in it. So, well, some of our money is clear now. Like, it's translucent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, really? The new bills are plastic. They've got,
Oh, the bills. I thought you were talking about the coins.
No, no. Look, the coinage is a problem. I mean, I took every once in a while, you know, every couple of years, you just realize, man, I've got so much change around the house. Like, I just have to get rid of it. So, you know, you go to the dollar store, you pick up a couple of those plastic rollers, and you just, every once in a while when you walk by the dresser, you throw a roll of dimes or nickels or something together, and you just, you know, eventually you've got a sock drawer full of this stuff that you got to lug to the bank. Well, I went to the bank yesterday, and I dropped off $97 and change.
Nice.
Into my bank account. I mean, it's been years, but I mean, like, it just accumulates, and it never leaves the house.
Well, like, that's a nice bonus right there. Right?
Absolutely. It's a nice bonus. It's pizza, like, gosh, pizza and beer money.
We're going out for dinner.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what I told her. but yeah, it's a problem with, like, both $1 and $2 pieces being coins. Because I mean, like,
I never use cash anymore.
That's true too.
I mean, debit card. Although, like, my girlfriend always asks me, why don't you ever have cash? Because I just hate change.
Yeah, no, and it's getting that way around here too. I use my debit card for just about everything. But
I was like, I hate to apologize. I'm going to be spending $1.50 on my debit card, but I just don't have any cash on.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of places that I would spend something as little as $1.50 are places like Starbucks or Tim Hortons, or places that you can have, like, club cards or apps on your phone, you know, with the Passbook app on the iPhone. And you don't even have to pay anything. You just wipe, you know, flash it in front of the scanner and away you go.
That is awesome.
Absolutely. Well, Skyhawk, what about you? What's been gracing your television lately?
You know, I just been watching the new series, you know. I'm really digging the new S.H.I.E.L.D., Avengers S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
Cool. I don't have cable, but I'm going to find a way to view it eventually.
And I'm also loving the Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's very funny.
Oh, and so what's this about?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a new sitcom with Andy Samberg.
Okay.
He plays a cop in Brooklyn, and it's very well written. It's not cheesy. It's really good. I was very, because, you know, I was a little apprehensive and little, you know, I just could go either way, but it's really well done, and I'm really enjoying it. Come on, the season finale of Breaking Bad. Got to give it up for that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that yet at all. I mean, I think I might even be on season 4. I don't know. I lost interest a little while ago, and I never got back into it. It's available on Netflix now, so, I mean, Joss and I will eventually go through it. We started watching The Walking Dead again. So, okay. I mean, because that's, again, it's available on Netflix. Just today, actually, Netflix came out with all kinds of new stuff in Canada, like... I see Bill Meeks is in the chat room here, and Once Upon a Time is now on Netflix here in Canada. So I'm looking forward to catching up on that, because Bill does Greetings from Storybrooke, which is a podcast about the show. And I've not really been able to listen to it, because outside of the first episode or two, I've never seen much of Once Upon a Time. So now I can catch up and hopefully catch up on his podcast as well, because it seemed like an interesting show. And anybody that, you know... I like that kind of fantasy. Like, I found that a lot of the TV that we've had access to lately via Netflix has been, like, you know, cop dramas or lawyer dramas, or, like, it's just, I want a good, solid fantasy TV show, you know, something that's really out there. So S.H.I.E.L.D. should be good when I get a chance to check that out. And same with Walking Dead. I mean, it's definitely out there. I have to be in the right mood to watch The Walking Dead.
The thing about The Walking Dead is it can be slow sometimes.
It really can be. Yeah, that's why we stopped. We only watched, we thought that we were, just last week on the show, I said, you know, I'm pretty sure that I'm a few episodes into The Walking Dead. Well, Jocelyn queued it up the other night, and she read the descriptions of a couple of the episodes, and we realized we had only seen the first episode of season 3. That's how long it felt.
Wow.
Like, how draggy it felt. And we're like, no, we've seen like 3 or 4 of these for sure. You know, nope, we'd only seen the first one. So
more
we watched
more scenes of everyone standing around looking concerned.
Have you read the comic book?
I've read the first couple. I am now farther in the show at the jail than I got in the comic. So, and I know I've heard that the show drags on, and I've also heard that the show does pick up, like, there's a little bit of a lull.
Well, the thing
is
it moves so fast in the comic book compared to the TV show. You know, it's just that's what kind of drives me nuts.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of people staring at one another, wondering whether they're going to shoot each other in the face. You know, it's just like, oh God, just get on with it. Just get on with it. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's been hard pressed for me lately to pick up some.
But you gotta keep it going with Breaking Bad. It's good.
Yeah, I do like it.
A little trivia. I did the Grand Via logo at the end of each episode.
You did that?
Very cool.
Yeah.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so what happened was old co-worker's brother is what's his name? I'm having a brain fart. Michael Johnson, I want to say his name is. He's an executive producer on it. And he's like, my brother's, starting his own production company and he needs a logo. And I think you're a great art director. I wonder if you could, work on it. And I was like, sure. And then lo and behold, I was like watching Breaking Bad and there was my logo at the end. It's like, oh, holy crap, there it is.
Nice. So he didn't tell you it was for Breaking Bad?
No, well, this was years before Breaking Bad went on the air, type of thing. That was his production, because he does a whole bunch of, he produced all the Narnia movies and stuff like that.
Oh, I see, okay.
So.
That's cool.
That's great. Jeez, man. You're all over the place.
Oh, yeah, I got my hands in everything.
Jeez, Skyhawk is connected.
That's right.
Very cool. Well, one thing that I did catch on Netflix that I really quite enjoyed was an old documentary, and I've been meaning to watch more docs on Netflix, and it was called Comic Book Confidential. And
turning into Scott Johnson or something?
No. I have to be in the right mood.
He's Mr. Doc on freaking Netflix.
Is he?
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's all he watches, watching another Ken Burns.
Oh, I have heard that. Yeah, I've heard him mention that. But this one was a film from the 80s, 88 to be specific. And it was about, at the time, the current feel and direction of comics and comic books, mainly in the U.S. And there's some really interesting information and some very dated conversations with some creators. And I don't mean dated necessarily in a bad way. I mean, there's a really cool conversation with Will Eisner and Stan Lee as they talk about their comics, their projects, Marvel and some of the other things that they'd like to do, the Spirit, that kind of stuff, and where they were seeing their work heading. There is a comic historian that was talking about how everybody was hating on the comics, specifically horror comics and stuff in the 50s and 60s, thinking that it was going to turn their kids into serial killers and all this kind of stuff. but one of the most interesting and smug conversations that was caught on film was the conversation with Frank Miller. And he was in the middle of working on The Dark Knight Returns. And I mean, like, I knew that he's done some stuff. But I mean, like, he really does not come across as a likable guy this documentary.
He's got a reputation, right?
Well, I didn't know. Is he hard to work with? Is that the rep?
I've heard he's very, I don't know, I don't know how to say it, but I heard he is very hard, to work with, but I think he has a kind of a right to be kind of,
I'm not saying that the work is not good, but just to hear him talk about it sounds like he's God's gift to green earth, and everybody else, Stan Lee, and Will Eisner. I mean, they're all very important people in comics, but they're all just so humble about, like, I just want to draw pictures. I'm here to tell stories. And
yeah, but yeah, look at how his stories are just so dark and disturbing, and maybe that comes from part of his personality. I don't know.
I guess. But there's another guy that they interviewed, and his name is escaping me right now, but. He was the real artsy guy. I mean, they were talking about like underground comics and a lot of content that does not appeal to me. I mean, to each their own. But this guy was going on and on about, the man and how he was being sued and got a cease and desist from Disney because, he was using their characters in parody and they shouldn't have done that. And they throw their money around and they get whatever they want. And he had drawn Mickey and Minnie having sex in a jail cell quite graphically. And I'm just like, dude, what did you expect? and this isn't even like really early on when Disney was just started. I mean, like this was in probably somewhere in the 80s, which was, Disney was swinging a big hammer. Like what? It was so just pretentious and out there to hear this guy talk about it. Like it was this worst censorship ever. It's like, dude, you took somebody else's property and you're trying to make money with it. in a way that does not flatter or you know, it even damages, you know, their IP. Like, of course they're going to come down on you. Like, it was just ridiculous. I mean, and you get to see the other side of it too. I mean, there was a little bit about one of the guys at MAD, and they were doing a lot of really edgy work as well, but they were, you know, doing it the way that I want to say that you should, but they were doing it in a way that was really within the legal rights of parody and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really interesting doc. It's a bit dated, filmed and put together in 88. And, I can't say it's well put together. The content is good, but it's a weird kind of presentation to kind of wrap your head around. I would definitely recommend it, you know, Comic Book Confidential on Netflix. The one thing that was a little bit sad at the end when they were talking with Stan Lee is that, I mean, this is 25 years ago and he looked kind of old then, articulate, but getting up there. And it makes you kind of think about how old he is now. Like, just, it's unfortunate to think about, like he, there's a lot of really important people in comics that might not be around for very much longer. And it just kind of reminded me of that for some reason. I don't know why. But that's my big recommendation from Netflix this week. But.
Awesome. Did you get the new Orange is the New Black?
I haven't seen it yet, but Jocelyn has seen the whole season.
She really did. You watch that, Eric?
Oh, I thought it was great.
Me too. Yeah, I loved it.
It was fantastic. I watched House of Cards also there on Netflix. Kind of lost me at the end there.
I thought it was kind of anticlimactic, right?
Yeah, it started off with a head of steam and it did kind of lose it near the end, I feel.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know.
Let's go jogging. Woo, that's the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's just like, and I told you what the opening scene of the next season is, right?
No.
They get hit by a car because they go jogging in all black jogging suits there.
Wait, how would you know? Wait, is there?
No, it's a joke.
Okay, I was going to say. Hang on.
They go running. They're wearing all black. It's nighttime. And it's what are you doing?
That's a good point.
You do not go jogging in all black at night.
No, that is not smart. That is foolish.
I know it looks good, but that's as a runner, I do not go jogging at night wearing
kaboom.
Black. Boom. Yeah. So anyway.
I can't believe I believed you for 2 seconds. I'm an idiot. Never mind. Moving on.
I was just sitting here watching that car crash happen. That was actually pretty cool.
He does know some producers in Hollywood.
Like, well, yeah, he seems like he's, you know, in the business or something.
Anyway, I found the name. His name is Mark Johnson, not Michael Johnson.
Okay.
Way to go, Eric. Yeah. You know, Skyhawk's dropping names on the podcast, and he's getting them wrong.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. Also, you guys been catching Legend of Korra at all?
Yes. Yeah, big fan.
In the way in which you guys are lacking in Doctor Who, I am lacking in all of that side of things. The Legend of Korra, that whole thing.
Did you see the Last Airbender, like the first three seasons? No, dude.
See, I know.
So yeah, good. I mean, it's very good. It's very, very good television.
Your Doctor Who is my Airbender.
Avatar. Yeah.
Do not go see the movie.
I won't. No. It has been cautioned against it.
Piece of crap that I cannot believe how bad it is. It was the first movie I actually thought about walking out.
Wow.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to get to walk out of a movie. I've done it at least once, and I'm trying to remember the last time I did it in the theaters.
But he took such a great IP and just like, I don't know. It's like,
do you think if it wasn't so beloved, like if it was taken out of the context of something that was really admired and had a really, really loved series behind it, do you think it would be less offensive than it, like, because it's tainting this this beautiful thing that you guys all love?
No, because movies have been made successfully out of, you know, like, look at what the Batman movies have become, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, Lord knows in the 80s, they did some horrible or early 90s Batman stuff with, you know, Mr. Freeze and Jim Carrey and
Batman nipples. What are you talking about? That's great. It's good stuff.
I think it's if it's well done, people will, you know, will give it its props if it's well. But this there was none. There was acting was horrible. It was just like when you have the guy from Daily Show. Oh my God, Asif
Manvi.
Yes, he's the best actor out of the whole movie.
Really?
You know? Wow. Yeah. He nailed it. Everybody else was horrible.
Huh.
You guys never saw the movie, I take it.
No. I avoided it. Well, because I was such a big fan of the show, and I knew that it was a real stinker after it came out. Like, I didn't get to see it right away, so I had lots of people, mostly animators, visual storytellers, telling me, like, just don't. Just stay away. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. and live on. Live long and prosper, and not seeing M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar problem. Yeah. What was the actual title of the movie? Was it called The Last Airbender?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I'd imagine they would have had some issues because it was out a long time before.
It was a Nickelodeon movie.
But it was out before Avatar. Like, I know my daughter's James Cameron's Avatar.
Oh, yeah. It was out before that Avatar you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think once you have like The Last Airbender, I don't think you're going to run into any, you know, copyright issues.
Yeah.
Because James Cameron's was just Avatar, right?
Yeah. It was just Avatar.
So I think this title was Avatar, The Last Airbender. I saw it.
My only redeeming part of not having seen any of that is that I know that I've kind of watched my daughter watch a bunch of them, and she seemed to really enjoy them. but I just didn't really pay attention because I was busy with doing other things and happy that she was occupied so I could do things at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. The first season of The Last Airbender is a little on the kiddie side, but it quickly moves into a more contemporary story. What I liked so much about it is that they don't talk down to you or kids in the writing. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't beat you over the head with stuff. They actually, you know, have a mature way of telling the story, and it becomes a more of a an arc of a story from beginning of the season to end. Like, there's always like a episodic plot, but there's still a huge mystery that's happening over the course of the whole season, which makes the whole thing very compelling.
It comes together well, and
mm-hmm.
and just the end, yeah, it's highly recommend it.
I'll have to watch it.
Absolutely. You don't have homework.
Okay.
Yes. Speaking of kids, I saw probably Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball 2.
Oh, how is that?
With the kids in the dine-in theater.
No.
Really? You yeah. lucky dog.
Is that as good as the first one?
I want to see it.
It actually is good. And what I think is very funny is the main character, one of the main characters, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but is modeled after a little bit of Steve Jobs, I'd have to say.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember.
Have you heard about this?
I don't remember the name of the character either, but there was a nod to Steve Jobs in the movie.
Yes.
Oh, right on. I liked the first one a lot. I thought it was.
It's a decent sequel, definitely, for sure.
I feel like movies like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, I mean, the original, I really enjoyed it. And what I like so much about it is that they cross the line. They don't pretend to not be a movie. You know, like they are. It's a slapstick Saturday morning cartoon that happens to be 90 minutes long,
right?
You know, and has the budget for, you know, feature quality animation. It's silly stuff, and it's not the kind of thing that you would expect when you go to see Brave, you know, or WALL-E from Pixar. But it's its own little world, and I really like that.
It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, precisely, yeah. So, and that just opened up like this weekend, didn't it?
Yes.
I didn't even know that was out yet.
How well did it do? Do you know if it did really well? It was like 30, 40 million, something like that?
I think
that?
It did okay. I don't really follow the movie profits that closely, but I think it did okay.
You're not in the movie draft with all those silly guys?
I am not in the NSFW, whatever
movie. That's fun to watch.
Yeah, I participated.
Scott got his butt kicked. Is it over yet? I know Scott, but
Yeah, I participated last year, not like financially, but just like out of just in the chat room. Like I wasn't in the actual draft, but I
right.
competed in the chat room draft, and that was fun. Yeah, it was really good.
It is fun to follow those guys and watch them kind of fall over each other and freak out as or kind of trash talk each other as they win and lose.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's rigged. I think Brian has some kind of rigging system.
Yeah, Brushwood's he fixed it. The whole thing is fixed. He's got something going on there.
Too funny. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show. We're running a little bit short on time here, so I've got so much great content. I'm just going to have
sorry about that.
No, it's great, man. Look, I don't want to keep you longer than the hour that we agreed on either. But it's it's so good to have you on the show. I'm really happy that we got a chance to talk about the album, because it's one thing that I do find has been missing a lot from the Sill Cafe has been music. And I mean, I know that we all listen, but we just never seem to have anything new to talk about, or to have someone that, you know, a musician and composer like yourself that's doing this kind of stuff on the show. It was a real, real big treat. So I'm super stoked that you were able to be here, man. And it's super cool that you can say, like, you have so much to say about your work. It's not like, you know, you're just like, yep, I did this and it's cool, go listen. You know, like, it just, it's, you know, it's really cool to, you know, artist to artist to sit down and talk about that kind of stuff, and the processes and the collaboration was it Thix?
Yeah, it's so funny when I was speaking to him, because Because when he like writes it on his albums, it's like all capitalized, and I was like, is it THYX or is it?
No, it's an acronym or something. Yeah.
He goes, Thanks. Oh, it's Thix, it's yeah. Thix. I'm like, okay, all right, I didn't know.
Good to know.
So yeah, if you guys check out his stuff, Thix on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and RDO. His other band is called Mind in the Box, which is really good stuff. And yeah, he actually he has a Mind in the Box called Retro, which he redoes 8-bit theme songs from video games from the Commodore 64.
Oh wow!
So he goes way back.
Way back, yeah. God, I used to play those too.
Sounds cool.
I used to have like a VIC 20 where I had like a cartridge that I had to stick in the back of it.
Oh yeah,
old computer games, man. Crazy stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on joelduggan.com/live. You can, of course, find the podcast on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. And the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, or, of course, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus with just the name of the show. This Friday evening, check out The Gamers Inn on amove.tv at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. If you're a gamer, you can tune in to talk to or listen to Jocelyn and Ryan talk about what they've been into lately. They are going to be talking a little bit more about the Extra Life charity event that's coming up on November 2nd. You can find out about more about that specifically at bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2013. They are going to be raising money for some children's hospitals by doing a 25-hour gaming marathon, to which I will be running support. I got to keep Jocelyn fed and warm and awake long enough to help
coffee,
the kids out.
Coffee runs
and all that kind of stuff. And I will be playing with them. They're going to be doing some multiplayer stuff like dungeon runs, and it's all tied in. The Gamers Inn actually, and the Tadpool.
So I get to do a dungeon run with you guys?
I think so. Finally.
Will
yeah.
you let me?
I think so. Yeah. Well, we're level 90 now, so we're in WoW. So we're hoping to do some more stuff like that. And this Friday, actually, after the show, myself, Ryan, Jocelyn, and Paul Swickard are all going to jump onto the live stream after Gamers Inn and play some Borderlands 2, which we've been playing and really enjoying because it is freaking hilarious. I've not played a game like that has made me laugh so much in a long, long time.
Wow.
So
did you just pick that up?
Yeah. I'm only like level 10 or something like that. We got it on a Steam sale earlier this summer, and we're just now getting around to checking it out.
It's a great game.
It's fun. Yeah, I played the first one. I enjoyed the first one on Xbox. This one we're playing on PC, but it's been a good time so far. So, you know, tune in Friday night and you can watch the four of us tear it up, you know, swearing at one another and trying to figure out what the hell to do. Because I think I'm the only one that's played it before. Maybe Paul has. I'm not really sure. Yeah. It should be interesting to see how that rolls.
It's a great game. I finished the Borderlands 2 quite a while ago when it first yeah. came out.
It came out in like March or something. It was like a winter release, I think, was it?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. It's good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am up to on joelduggan.com, including my book, StarCrossed Volume 1. You can also follow me on Twitter and Google Plus with just my name. Eric Mahler, where can people find you online?
They can follow me on Twitter at Snyder Mahler, and they can listen to the podcast. It's MrMomDaily.com. I'm still doing that every damn day or weekday.
Nice.
And yeah.
Cool. And Skyhawk, where can people find you online, and where can they find your album?
On Twitter, I am at Hakito, Hawkito. You can find my album Shattered on iTunes and Amazon.
You have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
Eric, it's really eerie how much we have in common. You were talking about you played the drums for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I played the drums for like 10 years starting in high school, and then I played in a whole bunch of rock bands, and then I made a whole bunch of computer music using a bunch of weird crap. But I didn't take it to where you took it, though. But that was really eerie listening to you describe your thing there, and I was like...
My history, and you're like, why didn't you say? It's like, I did the same thing.
I didn't want to... I was listening. I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it's very strange. And you're from Utah.
And I'm from Utah.
And your name Eric.
And I'm Eric. I know.
What's going on?
What in the world is going on?
So why did you stop with the music?
I just got busy with other things. Well, like, sometimes I would go back to bands and play in other bands. And then, I don't know. I haven't made music for a while. I still have music online, but... I haven't made it for a while. That was partly why I wanted to ask, because I was curious. I've been feeling the itch to make music again.
And if you want, I'd highly recommend like Ableton, which is great. Or if you want like a package that has everything you need right in one thing, you don't have to worry about adding a whole bunch of stuff. Reason is the way to go.
I like Reason, but what I prefer is using samples. I have like 17 gigs of old WAV files, samples, and that I, because all I would use was samples mainly, and just so I like something with like just a sequencer so I can drop samples into it and pull them around like Live 5, so I can pull things to the right beat. I did that back in the day, but it wasn't a proper copy, as it were. It wasn't a legal copy.
So. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
The samples weren't cleared.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I stopped doing, because I have a bunch of songs on my website, but it's all just download for free, because if I tried to sell this, I imagine I'd get in trouble, because this is all just stuff I grabbed from wherever, and I didn't clear a thing.
I have to make sure that all my samples are all legit. And
have you ever played with whosampled.com?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna love it. Okay, hang on. So what it does is it'll say Midnight in a Perfect World. That's a pretty well-known song.
And it'll tell you what samples he used.
Yeah, and it also has links to YouTube videos that let you hear the song originally sampled, so you can, you know, go like, oh my God, there it is. And I don't know. I got stuck listening to just toying around on this for...
You should, if you're interested in the documentaries, you should watch Scratched. It's, like, really good documentary. Scratch, yeah. It's a documentary on about DJs and where Scratch came from. Mm-hmm. It has a section on DJ Shadow where he's just in this record store basement.
The whole documentary is on YouTube.
Is it?
Yeah, I just Googled it, and here it is.
Yeah, and it's like there's a section with DJ Shadow where he's in this old record store basement where the owner doesn't let anybody go down there except for DJ Shadow, and it is just like floor to ceiling records that he just goes through and just like searches and try to find, you know, samples. And
that sounds awesome.
Amazing. I actually got a black and white print of him within the records that he was selling on his site.
I'm definitely going to watch this.
Yes, nice. It's very, very cool.